Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's 4th of July tomorrow.
No, it's not. No? Have you seen all of the concerted effort to not say Happy 4th of July or tomorrow? It's Independence Day. Have you been seeing this?
I have noticed it.
I thought that was, I mean, we know it's Independence Day, right? We know that.
I have noticed a little bit of that, but I haven't noticed that it was anything trendy.
I just seem to notice that I was watching a few different programs and it's all, you know, Happy Independence Day. I'm thinking, is this a movement to, you know, a protectionist movement or some kind of America First movement or I don't know, something? This seems a little weird.
Oh, there's something behind it.
There always is, isn't there?
So now that you bring it up, I'm going to have to figure out what it is.
I spent the weekend in South Beach.
That's a pleasant place.
Yep. We had one of those freebie rooms that comes with a credit card. You know, so, so we got this nice place.
Were you in one of the crazy hotels?
We stayed in the Surfcomber right on the beach.
Okay.
About 17th Street. So the free room, which was free, gave us a bottle of wine. They gave us $10 drink cards. It wasn't halfway through the first day that I was up to about $250 already in charges.
For what?
Just the drinks and a few appetizers.
Well, that's your free room.
Yeah. And then I started. There's
like a free room in Vegas for a guy who's got a gambling problem.
Exactly. And then a couple walked off the beach. They said it was his birthday. I was sitting at the bars. Oh, so let's do some tequila. I bought a shot of tequila. Then they start buying me shots of tequila. By about 2 p.m, my eyes were rolling up in my head.
Wow.
Oh, unbelievable. But it was a lot of fun. Went to some of the places, the cool areas, Wynmoor, which is like a whole graffiti art area that's very trendy, a lot of restaurants. Did some appetizers there at this cool place. And then went to this really cool restaurant in South Beach called Yardbird, which had the most incredible whiskey list I've ever seen. An entire page, almost, I would say, a legal size page filled with all the choices of whiskey. As a matter of fact, they had the Pappy Van Winkle 23 on there.
Oh, that, what was that, a glass?
180.
That seems high.
Yeah, I didn't get it this time. No, I figured, I was so done from drinking by the time dinner came around. I said, I can't drink. But they had some interesting things. A lobster mac and cheese that was $48 with a pound and a quarter lobster right on top. They had chicken and waffles and watermelon. Kind of a southern place. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Anyway, markets are closed tomorrow in commemoration of Independence Day. That important day that happens to fall on the 4th of July.
Yeah, coincidentally.
As funny as that is. And a quick update of what's going on with the markets. The end of the month and the end of the quarter is now behind us as of last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished down for the week at the half year mark and for the year. The S&P was up a little bit, about 1.5%. NASDAQ up 8% for the year. Small cap still on fire, doing really well. And most of the rest of the world, ex the U.S., did very poorly for the last 6 months.
We rock.
Yeah. Woohoo. The worst sector for the first half of the year, home builders. Down
11%. Yeah, it fell off, even though the prices in the hot areas are still going up.
Yeah, down 11%. And a lot of that has to do with two things. One is the higher interest rates. Clearly, that is a negative for home builders. And the second thing is the higher costs. So what happens is that you book a house. We talked about this. We book a house and I buy a house today. The builder says, okay, we buy the house, whatever the price is. They price their materials in. They price in what the construction costs are going to be. They price in the cost of money and the carry until the time when they have to build it and buying the land and all that. By the time they start building, it could be a year down the road, 6 months down the road. The problem is the cost of copper and lumber in particular, went up dramatically, squeezing their margins. They can't increase the price of the house on you. So big problem for home builders. Consumer staples were off by 10%, also seen as usually a rather defensive a defensive area. But the problem is the tariffs, the cost of things, the dollar moving higher really hurt them. The best sectors for the first half of the year, consumer discretionary, interestingly enough, like retail, although some of that has to do with Amazon. Amazon's a big piece in that sector, up 10%, and tech up 9%. So
that's surprising.
Yeah. Global equity mutual funds and exchange traded funds have lost through withdrawals, outflows, $12.4 billion in June through last week, through the 26th. Mm. So the outflows are the largest since October 2008 and the fourth largest on record. Which,
wow.
Fourth largest on record doesn't really concern me as much because there's a lot more money in the markets these days. You know, and you have all these 401ks going in. And,
yeah, that's true. But still, it's a lot of movement.
Yeah, a lot of money. Let's see. I was saying that just as the markets flew down markets were down yesterday, closed in the green at the end of the day. Today, they were in the green. They closed in the red. We had more of this tariff stuff going on today. There was actually a big announcement towards the middle of the day that something happened with one of our chip companies here that kind of freaked everybody out. And I was saying that Independence Day is going to turn out to Independ Day. Independ, like,
yeah, that's what that gag is.
Yeah, Independ Day. I didn't work the gag all the way through. It was really just at this point.
Okay.
Did they call it Depends or Depend? Yeah.
Depends.
Yeah, but when I looked it up, it's actually called Depend.
Is that right?
Yeah, I looked up all the labels.
It was called Depends.
Maybe there's more than one that you need there. But the graphic today illustrates the investor version of Depend. Maximum protection.
Yeah, I saw it. I was wondering what you were up to.
China continues to devalue the yuan, although, even though it's 7% lower since April, they came out last night it was actually overnight or into the middle of the night. They said something to the effect of, we will not use the yuan as some kind of a war, you know, as trade warfare. We will not use that as our methodology. And that stopped the rise. And one of the reasons was that, companies in China were starting to freak out a little bit and some issues with dollar-denominated bonds and just all sorts of weird things are going on over there. And the markets are sagging pretty dramatically. So they're trying to prop it up. They did a few things, as a matter of fact. They came out and also said, a couple of people are starting to come out and say, oh, it's not time to panic. Don't worry. You know, even though markets are down, it's not time for investors to get upset. So they're trying to really coach their markets. That's always a problem.
Yep.
If you remember when all the banks were going down, the comments from all the CEOs were, we are solid and we have a good balance sheet, as they were all plummeting to hell.
Well, how are we doing on the banks, by the way?
The banks actually came out with the CCAR came out last week on Friday, I think it was Friday. And everybody basically passed except for Deutsche Bank.
Yeah.
And there was a conditional pass for Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. What that meant was something to the effect of, hey, do this. You're not going to pass. But if you do a couple of things here and there, we're going to give you a conditional pass and it will look okay. So this way you don't fail. So the Fed came into the rescue by allowing them to finagle their books a bit and do a few things internally so that when the actual results came out, they were going to be in the kind of like, the pass fail. They were kind of it was almost like a curve in school. You know, everybody did well, you didn't, okay, but we're going to do a positive curve on this and bring you up because we don't want it to look bad. So all the banks did really well. They increased their... Most of them increased their dividends and their buybacks dramatically. I mean, really dramatically. So at least they'll be buying their shares. But the banks were until last Friday, were hitting lows.
Yes, I know. If you've been following it, I think it's time to think about banks.
Yeah, the banks could be an interesting play. But the problem is that your 2 to 10 year spread is hitting on the lowest levels that it's been in a long time. And that's a problem.
And again, the banks can go lower.
They can go a lot lower. We've seen this before.
Yeah.
Their balance sheets are a lot better, but the problem is their margins stink right now. And who knows, in particular, like with the Morgan Stanley, with Goldman, not as much with some of the smaller banks, but clearly with the Citi. Who knows how much exposure they have to the rotten European banks? We don't know what
probably a lot more than we'd like to imagine.
Yeah, of course. So something's going crazy. But the thing I was talking about earlier, which I think was one of the reasons that markets sank, was because we saw that markets closed at 1 o'clock today officially. There was a report that a Chinese court has temporarily banned chip sales from Micron in China.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
No.
So the Chinese court's decision cuts the U.S. company off from the world's largest semiconductor market in a patent case. In a patent ruling in favor of UMC, the Fuzhou Intermediate People's Court of the People's Republic of China issued a preliminary injunction.
Fuzhou.
That sounds more French than it does Chinese.
Yes, that's the way it would be pronounced, I believe.
Fuzhou. Maybe with a little bit of oomph behind it. Maybe that sounds too much Japanese. Fuzhou. Intermediate People's Court of China issued a preliminary injunction stopping Micron from selling 26 products, including DRAM, dynamic random access memory, and NAND flash memory products in the country. That's a problem.
Yeah.
and do we think this has anything at all to do with what we did with some of their companies recently?
You think? Maybe.
Nah. Is this retribution for, you know, for the tariffs and for the sanctions or for the, you know, I would think that there's something going on here.
Yeah, something screwy. So I don't know how, well, Micron, especially those particular products, Micron doesn't have a patent beef with any of those things that they're banning.
Well, obviously, they made one up at least.
Yeah, seems dubious.
26 different products. I mean, I can see, okay, there's a patent infringement on product A. First of all, we know that usually that Chinese companies will, well, historically at least, they have come in, partnered up, and then stolen the intellectual property, right?
Well, I'd gotten to this discussion before, and I hate to call it stealing because they, as one observer said, they buy in, they buy up, and then they buy out. And then when you do that, you've got the intellectual property is now your property.
Right,
so
it's
how
merged.
You call that stealing.
Right, because it's merged. It's something you've worked on together usually.
Yeah, or you just bought them out. There's a bunch of, like, Broadcom's a good example. Now it's a Chinese company. Are you kidding me?
Well, somehow 26 separate products are, I mean, this looks like to me like a direct retribution for all that's going on against China, for the talk about, I mean, you know, if you can't imagine that there's not going to be any kind of, first of all, feelings hurt and backbone shattered by all the talk, the constant blather about China ripping us off, about China being unfair, about China stealing our information, about, you know, all these terrible things that China's doing. You know, after a while, they're going to stand up and say, hey, enough. Now, whether it's true or not, it's another story. But still, they're going to defend themselves somehow. And how are they going to hit us back? Are they going to hit us back by what? They're going to close all the payways? No. They're going to hit us back in the pocketbook.
Well, as best they can.
Yeah.
They're still more dependent on us than we are on them.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Well, actually, I shouldn't just say dependent. Their economy is more dependent on, we're dependent on them, obviously, because half the, you know, rinky-dink goods and services are all being made in China, and we don't have these facilities anymore to do a lot of these products.
And it's not like they beat us to the game in this. We willingly gave them all that opportunity. We willingly gave them all of the opportunity to build because we want to do it cheaper and because they were more effective and because we wanted, you know, companies wanted to have better margins and better revenue, earnings, net earnings, because it was cheaper to do so. It's our fault.
Absolutely.
It's our fault. And it's not going to stop. You know, it went from China, then it went where? It went to Vietnam.
Vietnam had a little piece of the action. India,
it just goes round and round. I mean, why would you use a developer if you had the ability to communicate and use a developer in India? And India developers are $10 to $12 an hour. And U.S., it's $100 an hour.
Yeah, well, the smart money uses Romanians, Ukrainians, and Russians, not Indians.
I use Indians for some development. I've used Russians. I've used Pakistani. Although my guy from Pakistan moved to Dubai, and somehow his prices went up in lockstep.
Yeah.
He just moved. The same guy moved. And his prices went from like, $30 an hour to like $80 an hour. I said,
yeah, cost of living.
It's my problem, So we don't use him that much.
Somebody else. Fire him.
Yeah. Over the weekend, President Trump tried to talk oil lower. I don't know if you saw this, but he was tweeting that there was an agreement he made with Saudi Arabia to increase oil production upwards of about 2 million barrels a day, and said that, yes, they agreed. So, of course, it came on a Sunday. That's what he said.
I don't know that they did.
Of course they can't do that.
Sure they can.
No, they cannot. They're part of OPEC, and they have agreements, and OPEC would freak out. They have a whole agreement, OPEC, on how much oil they're going to produce through the OPEC and non-OPEC countries. You can't just single country say, oh, yeah, we're going to increase production when we just
well,
had a meeting.
Well, I don't know what the agreement looks like.
Well, I just think
I always thought it was a gentleman's agreement. I didn't think it was like, legally binding.
Yeah, but the problem is you go against the gentleman's agreement there, you get your head chopped off. I mean, literally.
Well, the real head choppers are the Saudis.
Yeah. So the problem is you have now a situation where he said that they agreed. Now, hours later, it had to be walked back. The White House came out with an official statement and said, no, there's no official agreement. It's just something we talked about. So while oil opened up 2% lower on Sunday night when the futures opened, quickly turned around, and it's right back where it was.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be here for a while.
Yeah. So then today there was some There was some talk about how Saudi did say that they have the capacity. So they're using very specific words. They have the capacity to increase to 2 million barrels per day. That doesn't mean that they're going to. It's an appeasement. That was an appeasement to the discussion, trying to not shame President Trump for saying something that was a little bit, let's just say, not exactly accurate. Because I'm sure that they're crazy over there anyway with the fact. Don't forget, Saudi Arabia wants oil up. They want to keep oil up. They got to get this Aramco deal done.
They all do, don't they?
No, they wouldn't. No, but they want the oil up for the Aramco deal.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Billions of dollars rest on this Aramco deal. And when they get oil high enough and stable enough, they'll throw the Aramco deal out there. They'll get all their money in there. They'll have all the big boys on every exchange buying the crap out of it. And then they'll just say, okay, the hell with it. We'll pump more oil. Because now what they'll have is they'll be able to pump more oil and bring more money in. Then go back to trying to break the backs of the U.S. drillers.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, the deal has to happen pretty soon. So once that happens, might be an interesting short.
It could be. Now let's step it up and move forward to the second half of the year. Started out in the red as tariffs were imposed by Canada and Europe. And there was a much more European tariffs being expressed as being of interest. Don't forget that July 6th, the date is set for many of these tariffs go into effect by the United States against China. So that's only a few days away. All this is a lot of talk right now. There's a lot of talk, the $50 billion, the $100 billion, the $200 billion, all these different things, the 25%, the 10%. A lot of things are just kind of like sitting out there, and there's been a lot of discussion about. And the hope was, hey, we'll make them wet their pants with the fact that we're going to just totally destroy them with these tariffs and hopefully break them. And that hasn't happened. So I guess there's going to be some further tariffs. Now, in advance of this, in advance of the actual date the U.S. is putting tariffs on, Canada and Europe put the tariffs on. They implemented them. So now we do have tariffs, and we have the clear trade war in full motion.
Yeah, more or less.
So now with that, China economics over the weekend was soft, as was Japan. as a big concern there through the Tonkin survey that they're very concerned about the exports in Japan because, and China in particular, Tonkin's Japan, their manufacturing confidence and outlook index. But they were definitely negative, saying that things are starting to hit already. But here in the United States, things are still good. We saw the US ISM manufacturing index up to 60.2, which was up from 58.7 in May. And I gave you a little chart there.
Yeah, I'll look at it.
And you can see that it's continuing to move higher. It's more of the blue color gradient in the background. But you can see that popped higher. I still think that some of this is a pull forward. I think that
could be.
Manufacturers are starting to pull forward saying, hey, you know what? We better get this stuff out the door before these things hit.
Right. Yeah. Before they get really nailed with the tariffs.
Yep. So sick of this whole tariff thing. Manufacturing in Japan grew a little slightly better in June, but export orders fell off the cliff, as I mentioned. The final market Nikkei survey of Japan showed that manufacturing was seasonally adjusted to 53, which was lower than the first reading of 53.1. Now, by the way, anybody can see this information over on DH Unplugged when the show notes for episode number 414 come out. You can check that out. All these charts, graphs, and all that's just a push button away. So make sure to head over to dhunplugged.com. We have to talk about Tesla.
Tesla.
And by the way, I'm reading the book Elon Musk. It's titled Elon Musk. Fascinating story.
That's a good idea for a book.
Yeah. So it was written, I think, in 2015 or 16. Very well written. Interesting insight into the man. Starts off, I guess I didn't realize how he got involved with Tesla, Elon Musk, you know, from SpaceX.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of
interesting. What story did you hear?
No, it's not that I heard anything. I just was not clear on it, is what I'm saying.
Well, what did they say?
Well, it's just that basically, well, he started, you know, PayPal and that whole thing with PayPal and how he had a company that was competing against PayPal and they booted him out. He got a windfall when the whole thing merged, which was called.
Oh, yeah, he's gotten two or three windfalls.
Yeah. And he's a tough guy to work with. He has his own ideas. He's very headstrong.
Boss.
Yeah, and SpaceX, and fascinating way, the development of the rockets for SpaceX, I thought was fascinating. You know, how these guys put it together basically in a garage and then grew from there. And then, you know, it was able to use all the various sites for testing that the government used in all their facilities so they didn't have to build theirs. And he pushed and pushed and pushed and finally got the rocket to go. And then after that, because this was all based on his childhood dream of going to Mars. and the sky and space and all that.
Go now.
Yeah. How he got involved with Tesla, which was not his idea. He just came into it. He was funding it.
And then he booted the other guys out.
Right. He booted the other guys out. They tried to get him out after a while, but he then picked up and was in charge.
Yeah, it was intrigue. It was corporate intrigue.
Yep. So
yeah, I know a friend of mine was involved in that.
Oh, well. Let me give you a couple things.
He has nothing good to say about Musk.
Yeah, Musk is a bit of a slave driver. But first of all, he's a hard worker. No question about that. You know, and he has a very clear vision of what he wants. Whether or not that's possible or not, it's another story. But he makes things happen. They met their deadline this weekend for producing 5,000 cars in 1 week by the end of June. That was a self-imposed deadline and quota. And
yeah,
they made it at like the strike of midnight on the end of June, 5,000 cars in 1 week. And they reaffirmed their expectations for earnings that would be positive for next quarter. Now, on the news, stock was up probably about 6 or 7% and then started falling. One of the things that Musk said was, hey, we finally made it as a real car company. Now, what's interesting about that, because he's always looking for respect from all these players out there. I think that he tweeted something like, Tesla did it. You know, 5,000 cars in 7 days. Go Tesla team. And the Ford CEO retweeted that with Ford, 5,000 cars in, you know, in 7 hours or something like that at their peak. Go Ford team, you know, whenever that happened, you know. And then there was all the other tweets coming in with, oh, yeah, but look at your stock price compared to that. How's all that? But what was interesting about that is they set up a tent as an assembly line outside one of the facilities. I think it was
this is a local story. We got to see the tent. And it's crazy. It's like this tent designed to, like, you know, have a second assembly line to get to this 5,000 magic 5,000 number. I don't know how long they can sustain it.
Well,
I doubt they can sustain it one more week.
They pulled people off of other projects, other manufacturing and other assembly lines to do this 5,000. They worked ridiculous hours. They pulled in people working weekends when they said that they would be required 1 week advance notice for anybody working weekends or overtime. People working 12-hour shifts. And they did it out in the tent. The tent they put together, and I think it was 2 weeks or so. Now, it would take a year to make any assembly line anywhere else that was calibrated correctly, working. So I don't know what they're going to have in terms of any problems with quality assurance. That could be an issue.
Well, yeah, I'm suspecting it's going to be. They jacked the prices of the car up, too. Looks like a lot of this is idealism.
Well, the stock was up 6%. It finished the day down 4% when there's a lot of concern. It was down another 7% or so today. It's now up by 15% from the reaction high, as the concern is that they're not.
I think one of the two of us had put that into the short.
You did.
Oh, it was me.
Yeah, I've had it before. You have it. You have it there. It's a short. You're up nicely. And also the news today that Chief Engineer Doug Field has decided to leave the company. Right on the heels of them, this big breakthrough. I wonder what that means.
It means a number of possibilities. It could mean that that this is bogus. You know, these cars are artificial. They may have some backed up. They may have cheated on the numbers. It's a very common Silicon Valley trick. It's not like a big deal. They do it all the time. You know, slip a few of the ones that are already built into the back of the line. And here they come. They're done to get to the 5,000. And he knows they're not going to do – I'm just surmising based on what I know about the way things operate around here. He's thinking to himself, this is not going to ever happen. We're not going to be able to do this 5,000 cars. And guess who's going to get blamed?
Well, they also bumped it up to 6,000 per week in the next few months.
Well, that may have been the reason he quit right there.
Oh, possibly. I'm thinking the chief engineer. I'm thinking quality control. Chief engineer, he's in charge of the engineering of the car. And if there's any quality control due to the fact that they push this to their limits of manufacturing these, then he'll definitely be to blame.
Well, right? He'll be to blame. Yeah, probably. Yeah, well, he's made this smart move.
Right, right.
I'm out of here.
Right. So anyway, so that's down 15% from the reaction high. So that's working out well for you. All right, let me tell you about some also news over the weekend. The Trump administration has drafted a bill that would abandon America's commitment to the World Trade Organization's rules. Did you see this? This is a great story.
I didn't see this, but I'm very familiar with the problems with the World Trade Organization. I can see why Trump would be anxious to get out of it.
Yeah.
It's a supra government. We have rules. For example, there's a good book called Whose Trade Organization by this woman who wrote it some years ago, and she's been, you know, making hay with it ever since. And she points out one example of another. We have like environmental standards in this country, and of some sort. And then if the World Trade Organization decides that the organization wants a different environmental standard that's less, or more, or whatever. They ride above our laws. It's unbelievable. You have to read this book.
Who's it by?
This woman, I have to think of her name, but it's called Whose Trade Organization. It's available on Amazon. I'd recommend anyone read this book.
Whose Trade Organization?
WTO.
WTO's Trade Organization?
Whose Trade Organization is the name of the book, and it's got WTO written.
Title. Whose Trade Organization? It's by Lori Wallach.
Yeah, Wallach. That's it.
And it's available paperback on Amazon Prime for $12.57. The Comprehensive Guide to the WTO. There you go.
It's a horrible operation. So the whole idea is it's all one world government stuff. It's just I can see why Trump would be rankle.
Well, here's the punchline of the story. So the legislation would empower the president to ignore international trade rules set by the World Trade Organization and would essentially allow President Trump to unilaterally raise tariffs without the approval of Congress. It's known as the new bill is called the United States Fair and Reciprocal Tariff Act, better known by the acronym, the U.S. FART Act. That's what they're calling it, the FART Act. Did nobody scan this? I mean, I've thought of different things like Horowitz Asset Management. Maybe I'll call the company Horowitz. Nah, that's ham. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, you always want to check this stuff.
You got to check it.
They do stuff. These kind of blunders are inexcusable unless they're done on purpose.
The United States Fair and Reciprocal Tariff Act, the FART Act. I love that. Somebody's pissed off about this. I mean, how do you, you can't pass this now. You got to call it something else. You know, you got to call it the, you know, the U.S. You can't use the, you got to use something else here. Just call it the United States Fair Tariff Act. Get rid of the word reciprocal and you're good.
Yeah.
Then you, that's the FAT. That's the FAT Act then. No, the U.S. FAT Act. You can't do that either.
Yeah, you can't win.
Can't win on that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just shows you that tariffs stink. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it did cause, it's caused economic downturns a number of times in the U.S. history.
Just look at Smoot-Hawley. It caused the recession, the depression. Very bad.
It's, yeah.
Personal loans surged to a record this year and are the fastest growing U.S. consumer lending category, according to the data from the credit bureau TransUnion. Outstanding balances rose 18% in the first quarter to $120 billion. And this is from companies like, you know, social lending
You know, those companies? Those crazy things. Yeah.
Fintech,
they're all nuts.
Fintech companies originated 36% of total personal loans in 2017, with less than 1% in 2010. So, you know, what's interesting about this is you have to wonder why people are having to go to alternative methods besides the fact that they're maybe a little bit easier to deal with, you know, a couple of clicks of a button, you get $5,000.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder what kind of underwriting is being done with that and what kind of losses will come in the event that, you know, there's going to be any kind of maybe a slowdown, somebody loses their job. I don't know, whatever the reason.
Slowdown will definitely take these guys out.
Yeah, 18% increase, $120 billion. So you wonder where some of this money is coming from to maybe keep the economy boosted. That's just
nonsense. It's crazy.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Facebook said on Monday that it is it faced an expansion of the federal investigation into its sharing of user data with political consulting firm Cambridge Analytica, former firm, which is now bankrupt. With more government agencies inquiring about the matter and examining the social network statement about this episode, the Justice Department and the FBI have each increased and broadened their inquiries into Cambridge Analytica by also focusing on Facebook. In addition, the SEC has started an investigation into the social network's policy statement and the public statement about Cambridge Analytica, about what they said happened, what they did. It's just
nuts.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, it is Independence Day, the 4th of July. It's that half a year is gone. It is time to pony up, time to dig deep, time to give a donation. We have a couple different ways that you can do so.
We're getting a little light at the donations, these guys. We've had, especially if we look at today's charts, I mean, we're just in the green on everything except one or two items.
Yep. So the problem
although my penny stock finally fell through the floor, see.
Yeah, finally. Just hit that mark. It like knew you should have gone 1 cent under.
I should have shorted it.
Yeah, that's true. Also, that's true. Why don't you browbeat some of these people into submission to give us a donation?
Well, I think we're browbeating them now, aren't we?
I guess we are. Yeah. So it's show number 414.
Yes. This is what we should be doing is getting these t-shirts. So this is the one of the greatest things ever.
Yeah. So it's interesting about one of the things about show 414. Is that you could do that forward and backward.
Palindrome.
Yeah, it's a palindrome. It's a mini palindrome. 414-414. It also, if you add the numbers up and divide by 3, you get the number 3. Not that that means anything, but maybe somebody will get excited about that. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm trying to figure that one out too.
If you multiply all the numbers, you get 4 times 1 is 4. You get 16.
Yeah, so and divided by 4 is 4.
Yeah, so there you go. These are all even numbers, which is really interesting. So
three isn't.
No, three isn't. No. Upside down and backwards, but yeah. So listen, if you want a t-shirt, which is usually reserved only to the winners of the Close to the Pin competition, which we have to get another stock for, you can get one by just simply going over and donating the amount of the show, 414. It's never going to be this price again because it's going to go to 415 the next show. So we will sign it. We will send it to you. And you will be one of the few people out there that have a DH Unplugged t-shirt, a collector's item with both of our signing when you put your name on there, something that you could really squawk to your friends about. Look what I got, you know? And this is something, this is, you know, you think that driving a Lambo is kind of cool. This, you walk around with this, people are going to notice. Yeah.
Well, you frame it.
Yep. So anyway, please go over there, give a donation. Any amount helps. For those of you that have heard this, like, oh, I don't want to keep talking about donations. We don't ask you for much. We do this week in and week out. You know, and all we're saying is, can you give us a few bucks? If you can't afford the t-shirt, because obviously you haven't been listening to all the things we've been talking about, the great ideas we have, okay, fine. Just go over and give $50, give $75. Go donate till it hurts, especially for this Independence Day, because financial independence is one of the most important things in life, and hopefully we're getting you there somehow.
I hope so.
Now, July ends the special section of the show, which we're about to enter into, which is the limericks. Because we got to come up with something fresh and new.
But we have 1, 2, 3, 4 of them today.
Yeah, 4 of them.
Yeah, we should have turned into some sort of competition. But, okay, it was your idea to begin with. And I think you just felt like writing limericks. And so here we are.
Yeah, I don't know how we got here, actually. I have no idea how we got here. Some people love them. Some people hate them.
I think most people hate them.
Really?
Here we go.
All right. Let me get my pen out. My official limerick scorecard, which I wasn't prepared for. My official limerick scorecard pen and paper. Here we go. All right. The first one is from Gary Henneberry. I believe he got an A recently, and he was reluctant to send one in because he was going to end on a high, but he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
So here he goes. Fed governors have a political connection. Many angry about Hillary's rejection. They increased the rate 3 years too late. Trying to influence another election.
Huh. Well, just because he was the reluctant, I'm going to give him another A.
Wow.
So he can say he finished on a high note.
Gary, stop. Because you know how tough he is. Two A's in a row are amazing. I think I got an A last time also, and I'm going to go up next here. Here's my submission for the numbers. And by the way, the chat room... once we finish, throw up your particular vote of what it was in terms of grading A through F so we can see how it rates according to John. So the last one got a C from a couple of people there in the chat room. All right, here comes mine. They're close to throwing in the towel. If the economy slows down, blame Powell. With tools that are blunt, rate hikes cause markets to grunt like a sharp poke to a puckered up bowel.
That's very interesting. Limerick by you there.
Oh,
I like it. I like it's got a little kind of lewdness to it at the end. Don't know if it's that funny, but I'm going to give you an A.
There we go. Wow. I don't know if you're softening or something here is going on. It's a little weird. Mm-hmm. Two A's. I mean, when we started, was everybody with C's? Maybe everybody's brushing up on their.
Oh no, they weren't very good.
Oh, so we're bringing up. We'll bring up the quality over time. All right, Dan Bailey came in one with, is not really a Fed related, but he wanted to send his in anyway. I once tied like a schmuck, but God was just a lame duck. So your shirt I will buy when your stock tips go high and the cost is a tenth of my luck.
I'm not sure what he's getting at.
He's saying there that if the shirt price is $400, he's got to make $4,000 on something that we have in the game.
Oh, so okay. So yes, well, it depends. You can make $4,000 on a very small move if you put in $200,000. So it doesn't really. I'm not impressed.
No. It's by the damn shirt.
The limerick itself, I think, is pretty well structured. Not sure. I don't like the last line. So I'm going to give him a B.
B. Okay. And the last one is another. I think Chris McCoy has sent in previous times. Sent in a limerick or two. And his goes like this. The Fed is one bank to rule them all. It's making interest rates small. The chairman thinks they can scry, but they have no all-seeing eye. I got to start again. The Fed is one bank to rule them all. It's making interest rates small. The chairman thinks that they can scry, but they have no all-seeing eye. Their hubris will make the coin of men fall.
Well, I don't know what scry is.
Maybe cry? Can they cry? No, scry? Oh.
Chairman thinks they can scry. I
got to look up the definition of scry while we're here. I just can't take it.
I never heard of the word.
Scry. Scry means foretell the future using a crystal ball or other reflective object or surface.
Well, okay. Well, I like the creativity of using that word then. But they have no seeing.
I had a hard time getting through it. I don't know if it was my teeth that were in the way or something.
Their hubris will make the coin of men fall. Well, the last line is really a fail. It's just not sharp enough. It doesn't have a snap to it. So I'm going to give him a C plus.
C plus. Okay, there we go. And that ends that section. I'll mention that we will have a close to the pin. New stock available shortly. Something for the summertime. So we gotta do. What can we do? Something maybe in the spirit of America. You got Boeing. You got Lockheed. You got what else is American? Caterpillar. We've done. What's an American company? McDonald's. God, that's
American
awful.
Apparel.
I think they're bankrupt, but we could try that. American Airlines.
Ooh, AMR. Are they still AMR? Who owns them now?
I think they're AAL. I think. Oh. You want to do American Airlines?
An airline I dislike. Yeah.
Okay. American Airlines, we will put on the list for that. And then, but one thing I want to mention there is on the website, if you go down to where it says close to the pin, there's a little button that says, or a little clicker that says click here for more charts on TradingView. If you click that and actually go to TradingView and you pick up one of the subscriptions, you get a discount on their, on some of the stuff. But if you don't do it, they have a really cool, really great charts. Anybody that's ever asked me, oh, where do you get some really cool charts on the web and all that? You can go to TradingView. Click that button. You'll see what I'm talking about. Let's get through here. All right. Now to the fun section here. This is right out of the movies. So there was a French gangster.
Oh, yeah. This is unbelievable.
This is unbelievable, right?
So it's just out of the movies. It's exact. This is going to be a movie because it's just exactly a movie.
Yeah, there's like Sylvester. No, the guy... Jason Latham, is that his name? From The Transporter?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to probably play this. But French gangster is on the run after being broken out of prison by heavily armed gunmen escaping in a helicopter that landed in the prison grounds. So this guy is Redouane Faïd, was serving a long-term sentence at a prison south of Paris for armed robbery and a murder of a policewoman in 2010 after a heist that went wrong. He's one of the country's most famous gangsters with a long career as a thief, which he said was inspired by Hollywood blockbusters such as Scarface and Heat. According to the sources, three armed gunmen arrived at the entrance of the prison, demanding Faye's release to create a diversion. Simultaneously, a helicopter landed in the prison courtyard, which was not covered by any nets. Gunmen then took Faye from the visiting room where he was waiting for people and fled in the helicopter. The helicopter, whose pilot may have been taken hostage, was found. Well, that's a bad sentence. The helicopter, whose pilot may have been taken hostage, was found burnt out north of Paris. I guess the helicopter.
The helicopter was burnt out. Yeah. The helicopter, whose pilot may have been taken hostage, got nothing to do with the sentence.
Right.
Was found burnt out. Yeah, they burnt the thing to. I don't know why they. I guess to eliminate fingerprints or whatever was on it.
Yeah. Yeah, great story. E-cigarette maker Juul Labs. Have you seen all these people walking around with these little rectangular things in their mouth and just sucking these things all day to do the vaping of tobacco?
I would say no.
It's a flat, I'm trying to think what it looks like. It looks like it's almost like a stick of gum, but maybe 3/4 the size of a stick of gum and thicker. And it has a couple little holes in the top, and they put a little cartridge in it, so the top 1/3 detaches, has a little rechargeable battery through USB, and they stick the little cartridge in there. And these things cost decent money for the cartridge refills, and they have all sorts of levels of nicotine in there. And you just hang them in your mouth, put them in your Coke pocket, you know, put them in your pants. It's an easy little thing. And this the company is raising $1.2 billion in a financing round that would value the company at $15 billion.
That's wild, since I never even heard of these things.
Oh, yeah. 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 You just look up Juul, J-U-U-L. Go look it up right now. You'll see what it looks like. Let's see, J-U-U-L. J-U-L. My son had one of these for a while. I'm like, what are you doing? What? Look at the images.
It looks like exactly what you described.
Yeah. And it has little pieces that you put into it. Now
it looks like a USB thumb drive, exactly, only longer.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
And you just plug it into your computer and you charge it. And it's just very easy to carry around and all. And but like I said, the refills are not cheap. But $15 billion valuation, which the company launched.
Silly.
It launched it in 2015.
Well, I've never seen one.
San Francisco-based company, too.
Local. Yeah, but I've still never seen one that I know of.
I think that's the thing. I think you could easily hide this. It's not like one of those. You ever see the people walk around with those giant ones?
Oh, yeah. The ones that just, when they take one breath, it fills the room with smoke.
Right. And they're like, what do you mean? You can't smell that. I'm like, I smell that. What are you talking about? It stinks like some kind of burnt sugar. Crazy.
Huh. This is weird.
Yep. Now, China, the embassy in Washington has issued a security advisory. I think this is hysterical. Has issued a security advisory to Chinese nationals traveling to the United States. The embassy warned Chinese tourists to be aware of issues including expensive medical bills.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah. The threat of public shootings and robberies.
There's that.
Searches and seizures by customs agents. Telecommunications fraud, but that's coming from Nigeria. And natural disasters. How great is that? Think about that. We're all like, yeah, that happens here. But they're warning their citizens. I mean, if you think about that, can you imagine if we were told, hey, if you're going down to Nicaragua, be really careful because you get ripped off at the hospitals. And if anything happens to you, you're probably going to go bankrupt. The threat of public shootings are really high. Robberies are really something you have to watch for. You get searches and seizures by customs agents in the airport, and sometimes they grope. And you get if you answer your phone, there could be a fraudster on the other side, and they have hurricanes and earthquakes there. You'd be like, oh, man, that's terrible. I'm not going there. That's exactly what we have going on here.
It reminds me, on the No Agenda show, we did I was playing some clips into it. I don't know if you heard the show, but they're putting in a shot finder system on some of the freeways in the Bay Area.
Oh.
And they mentioned that from 2015 to the present, they've had X number of freeway shootings. And so I asked Adam what he guessed. What would he think? How many freeway shootings have we had in the last couple of years? And he said he guessed 10.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
What would your guess be?
Somewhere on the freeway due to maybe driver rage or something like that?
Yeah, just for shootings on the freeway, people pissed off at each other and shooting at each other on the freeways in the San Francisco Bay Area.
I'll go with 25.
135.
Wow. So now what they'll be able to do with the ShotFinder system, which is a publicly traded firm, by the way, is that they'll be able to triangulate where the shots came from.
Well, this is a very advanced system that apparently when the shot happens, the cameras move and point at the shot. And then they zoom in and they have license plate readers.
Assuming that the shot finder is in the vicinity. It has to be relatively close.
I think it's going to be all up and down the Highway 4 freeway.
Wow. Of all places to put it on a freeway.
The freeway shootings are just, they're no good.
In Mexico, ruling party candidate Jose Antonio Meade had conceded they lost the presidential election to his rival, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, or as he's called, AMLO. Calls himself AMLO. Did you know that?
I had no. This was beyond my sphere of information.
AMLO. This is an acronym, AMLO. So he's going to be the president, and he's going to have a crackdown on all the corruption and blah, 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 and the drugs. And now the first thing out of President Trump's mouth, they're going to help us with the border.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay, well, that's a positive. Hey, I want to back up on this, what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this jewel. I'm looking at, you know, I got a page of images. Mm-hmm. I realize, you know what it reminds me of as a product? Mm. The Keurig coffee maker.
Yes. Or a Gillette razor.
Well, more of the Keurig thing, because the Gillette razor, well, a little bit with Gillette razor, but the deal is that you can buy coffee and make yourself coffee, pots of coffee, and it doesn't cost that much. But with the Keurig, you have to buy these individual packs that cost 50 cents or more a piece, maybe a dollar. And that's what we're dealing with here, because you can get a vapor and buy just a jug of juice and use it. But this is the same kind of thing where it's really pricey.
Now, I will tell you that if you see any of the little juice components, you see how they have like a black top and a more of a clear.
Yeah, they show them. They got a picture one right here.
So there
is very little juice.
There is a way, very little. There is a way to pop that off with a screwdriver.
Oh, this is like refilling ink cartridges.
Yeah, is what it is. You pop it off and you put some in. Now, the first three or four times you do that, things are kind of okay. You start doing it too often, it starts to wear out something or in there. And the first several puffs are like wet juice.
Or plastic.
Yeah, it's just wet juice. And then you have to finally get rid of them. But my son had this and he would be filling it up with a little dropper and doing it. I'm like, what are you doing?
This is like the ink thing, same thing.
Yeah. Huh. Look how small these things are, though. Yeah, there's a little juice thing. There's a little juice compartment.
It's fascinating. I never heard of this.
Yeah. So that's why they're making so much money, because they charge you, you know, it's on the, it's almost like packets of sugar versus.
Yeah, it's like the ink. It's like the ink business for the inkjet printers.
Yep. Yeah, so smart, very smart of them. Can't deny that.
Not a $14 billion valuation smart, but okay.
What is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine? While you look for that, I'll mention, while you go scurry around and look for that, that you could listen to John Dvorak, John C. Dvorak, JCD as we know him, and Adam Curry Thursdays and Sundays on the No Agenda show. They go live at noon with all sorts of fun clips and information and jingles and an incredibly well-produced show. If you haven't listened to No Agenda, to get a deconstruction of all the news that's out there, you're really missing a lot. So go over and listen to No Agenda over on noagendashow.com, noagendastream.com. What is it? Curry. I think it's adamcurry.com.
No, just I think it's curry.com.
Curry.com. So plenty of places. Just look it up. You'll find it. One of the greatest, if not probably one of the top three podcasts. So you got The Disciplined Investor, you got DH Unplugged, and you got, it's a trifecta of podcasts.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
You can't beat it. You just put that in your library and listen.
So I'm writing about this research report that came out of the University of Texas at Austin.
Yeah.
That says if the phone is in your vicinity, your cell phone, your mobile phone, is that it chews up your cognitive power, both with the working memory capacity, your brain, and fluid intelligence drops down because of the phone, unless it's in another room. And I took the research. In other words, you're being stupefied by this phone that you haven't, or carrying it around, what you do and people do. It really drops your IQ. And I'm, for the moment, and I've suggested, to take it one step further than the research, that this could be used as a sales tool. If you're selling somebody something or you're in a sales mode, take your phone and leave it at home. Don't even have it around. And put it in another room, do whatever, and try to get the other person to not only take their phone out, but to put it on the desk, because that causes the most problems for you, for the person's mental abilities.
So you're saying that...
Very interesting report. It's fascinating.
So the problem, though, is if you leave your phone at home and he takes out his phone, aren't you both being stupefied? Or is it just because it's his phone he gets stupefied? No,
because you get amped up about, oh, is it going to ring? Is there going to be a message?
Oh.
Is there... It's got nothing to do with his phone. You can have 25 phones. It's not your phone. You don't care.
So it's more of a distraction and a psychosomatic situation rather than...
No, it's not psychosomatic. It's not imaginary.
But are you telling me that there is some kind of a brain suck going on from you're telling me somehow there's...
I'm not telling you. I'm telling the University of Austin researchers are telling you this.
But it is not because it's acting as a... are you saying there's some kind of electronic connection between your phone, your personal phone, and you, that it's draining, it's actually busting up your brain cells.
It's psychological, but it's not electronic. It turns out that even if the phone is off, this effect takes place.
What about a computer?
I don't know of any meetings I've ever had trying to sell somebody something and drag my desktop and put it on the desk there. But no, because this is the computer doesn't work. The phone is a messaging device. And so you're getting messages all the time and things are happening on Facebook you got to check in on. And this is a big distraction. And
how did they test
you down?
How did they go about this process of testing?
You have to read the paper. It's about 14 pages.
Yeah, short paper because they had their phones out while they were writing it, probably.
It's very good paper and it's very interesting thesis. And it's I can see how you could use it to your advantage.
Well, I'll tell you one thing though, that if you think about it, just this one item. So there I am getting older.
Yeah,
on a daily basis. And no longer do I have to really rely on my memory and my sharp understanding of things, because at any given time, I could just simply, ask Google something.
Yeah, and you won't. And it's all to the good for somebody like you, because your memory is being sucked away very slowly by this, this use of this phone you're so dependent on.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's get over to the game. By the way, just to mention for you latecomers, if you're still hanging around there, that you can, of course, donate to the show over on DH Unplugged. And you can buy a shirt. This show, episode number 414, is available. Just go over to the donation button. And if you donate $414, we'll send you a signed, through a perfected technique, we've signed these, shirt for myself and John, and send it right to you and personalize it as well. So it's not that many people get that. Let's get over to the game. It's a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security at all. It's nothing more than simply some ideas that we come up with each and every week and a little bit of fun that we have here. If it's for whatever reason you decide, hey, you know what? I like what they're talking about and you want to buy any of these stocks or short any of the stocks that we talk about, well, do us a favor, find professional financial advice, because otherwise you may make a mistake and lose money, and that's not what the game is all about. Again, it's do your own research and find a professional to help you out with that. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own any of the securities mentioned. We'll duly reference that in the notes. And finally, you can go over to DH Unplugged and click on the weekly stock links page, and you can find what they're doing, how they're doing from the time that we mention them, and see what's up, what's down, et cetera. It ticks automatically with the live feed from various exchanges. That's all I got.
Well, we have 14 active stocks on the list. There's one coming on. The Micron will make it 15. And of those stocks, only two are in the red. And they're barely in the red. One is the General Electric Company.
Three of them.
No, that's not an active stock anymore. That's been kicked.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. I gotcha.
My penny stock got kicked. It finally went below 30 cents, and that was that. The rest of them, Facebook is up, VanEck, Vectors, Russia thing is up, Biogen is up, Eagle Point's up, Generac's up, Macy's is up, Morningstar is up, Next Innovation Corporation common stock is up, Tesla's up. Tesla's down because it was shorted.
Apple's a short. Now,
Apple's a short, and Starbucks is short, and they're all up.
My favorite stock on this list of yours is Starbucks. I'll tell you why. When you said Starbucks on the short side for a variety of different reasons, okay, with the news that was coming out and their same-store sales were starting to get lower and all that stock was down about 8% over the last couple of days prior to that. Now, that's a lot for Starbucks. You know, 8% for one of those loved companies. Full disclosure, I can't stand Starbucks. Hate me if you will. I don't know why.
I don't like Starbucks. I don't think the coffee's that good.
That good? I think it's horrendous. I can't drink it.
I can drink it, but I don't like it.
Well, anyway, it was down 8%. I'm thinking when you picked it up as a short, I'm like, oh man, that's pretty aggressive, because usually don't see, and it's particularly with the market still in a general bull mode, even though it's been a bit wonky lately. You know, when stocks, like that, the big names, the well-owned names get get hit, they get bought back pretty quickly. And you're up 11% on that, which means that the stock is down like 20%.
Yeah, wow. Well, the theory I use, which I'm using with Apple too, although I have a short on Apple, I don't think this is the short. I think it's just, a random short. It doesn't, not the big one. is the same one I have with Apple. Is when they start closing stores, when Apple starts closing its stores and not replacing them, in other words, not closing them, they're just building a bigger one in the same spot. But when they start closing stores, it's over.
Well, I like to see that happen because they use that as a service center also. You know, I mean, you go to the Genius Bar and...
Yeah.
And I walked into...
These things don't last forever. Apple in these stores isn't going to be here in 20 years. I'm sure of it.
So I went into the Apple store when I was down in South Beach because my wife's phone was getting really weird. It's been weird for a while. She can't dial on it. She's had four different phones, same problem. We finally figured out it has something to do with her contacts where she was syncing contacts from iCloud and Gmail and all that. And it just got all freaked out every time she pushed the button to dial. So we went in. We went in there, and I walk in. I'm like, "Yeah, hi. I'd like to buy a Surface." They didn't know what to do.
Oh, what a joker!
They didn't know what to do with themselves. They're like,
"I'm surprised you even know what it was."
Yeah, wah wah wah. You know, the guys with the that have those earrings in those gauges.
Gauges, a big giant. Yeah. So they have a big giant hole in their ear. I don't understand it.
I don't understand either. It's going to wiggle out. Anyway, I have one pick for this week. I'm not fully confident of this, I must say. Because this is a stock that's fallen from about 61 or so, down about 51. It was down about 5% today on the news that China is banning them. We talked about Micron Technology. Stock has a great fundamental backdrop. Right, it could go down to about, if this thing continues for a while and the chips become out of favor, I do see some support about 46, which is probably just at the 10% level on the stop side with the automatic stop we have. But I'm going to put it on the list because the fundamentals are good. And the way things have been going lately with the rumors and, you know, hitting hard against this one and then backing off.
Yeah,
and
I understand. It's an interesting speculation.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on here, though, because with the way this spreadsheet is, it shows you bought it at 13.
No, that was just – so I didn't clear that before I put it in there. That's going to be cleared. That would have been nice.
I guess up 271%.
Yeah, I got to clear that. This is our internal spreadsheet where it's we use for the show, not the one that you see on the site.
Okay.
What do you got? You got anything?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing. All right. Well, I wish you a happy Independence Day.
I get it.
And we'll be back next week. And then we have to talk about August because in August, I'm heading over to South Korea.
You ever been there before?
No, I think I stopped in the airport once, but I'm going to be doing it up with the Soju, and I'm looking forward to some wacky karaoke nights.
Well,
I'll
give you some tips. I've been to South Korea.
All right, good. Yeah, I've been going to
three times. I've
going to South Korea, Seoul, and all the whole area, Jeju Island. And then I'm going to Shanghai.
Shanghai. Yeah, there you go. Now you're talking.
Yep, got to get the suit guy from you.
The suit guys are in Korea.
Oh, they're in Korea?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got to get that information from you. All right, we'll talk then again next week. And, of course, before that, thanks for joining us, everybody. I'll see you next week.
See you then. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.